Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. We have all of us made an impulsive purchase at some point in our lives, a purchase that maybe we regret just a little bit afterwards. Come on, of course you have. I once bought an entire outfit from a clothing store that will remain unnamed that made me look like an overstuffed sausage. I do not know what I was thinking. I was going for some hipster look and I hung it all in my closet for, it stayed there for about a year and then I finally gave it away. And I'm sure the person who picked it up at Goodwill or Value Village was thrilled because it had never been worn. There is a money hack that can help us make some better purchases. And it is called the 1-2-3 spending method. I think it's genius. And we're going to talk about it with Kara Gamel. She was born and raised in Nova Scotia, but you will hear the delightful lilt in her voice because she lives the life in the United Kingdom as a freelance financial journalist and blogger on Your Best Friend's Guide to Cash. Hello there.
Hi.
What is the 1-2-3 spending method?
Well, the concept is simple, really. You look through your bank statements, and when you go through the list and the things that you think were really great purchases, you could put a one next to it. Ones you weren't so bothered about, you put a two next to it. And the ones that you think were a complete waste of money, you put a three next to it. And then you have a look across the entire statement, and suddenly you will have quite an eye opener to realize that you might have been spending your money in a way you don't really get much joy from.
And have you applied this thinking yourself? And if so, what are some threes for you?
I have done this actually, and because I think it's really, especially given the past year and a half, I tend to order food a lot more than I used to, because for a long time wasn't going anywhere. All the restaurants were closed, and I feel like I developed a bit of an unhealthy relationship with Deliveroo, which is the delivery. They'll deliver from any restaurant in the area. So I went through my bank statements and I realized I was shopping there just a little too often, and it had to stop. It was bad for my bank account and not great for my waistline either.
Right. So the food delivery was a three. What did you notice was a consistent one for you?
I think a consistent one would be experiences, really. I mean, obviously bills, that goes without saying, because you have to pay those, but I wouldn't say they give me joy. But yeah. I find particularly now, post lockdowns in the UK, it's been really intense over here for the past 18 months. So, it's days out that normally I might have thought, that's a bit much for a day out with an 8-year-old. But now it's been so long since we've done anything, it feels worth it to spend a little bit more because it's making memories.
Yeah. Wow. We could use a lot of those in so many ways. Now, it is a past-based process, as in you're looking at transactions that have already occurred. Mm-hmm. How do you bring that thinking into the present and into the future? So the next time your thumb gets a little bit itchy to order from your local pub, you're less likely to do that.
Well, I think the main thing for me was when I realized how much I had been spending, I deleted the app from my phone.
Smart.
Yeah. And so then it made it just that bit. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't download it again eventually.
How long? How long did it last?
I think it was about a week and a half, maybe. Okay. But I thought, okay, then it became something I had to do. It was one extra step. You have to download the app again. And while that's downloading, that gives you time to pause and consider what you're doing. And at that particular time, I was really busy. I was on deadline. I'm a single parent. And the convenience seemed worth it rather than it being just a bit of a lazy habit. So it made me analyze why I was making that purchase. Rather, it just seemed easy. But for me, actually, it was the gift of time is what I was kind of buying back. So I didn't have to worry about, getting dinner ready when I had a million things to do. So I think the thing is if you look back, something that's reflective, like the 1-2-3 system, is that it makes you look back and reflect about how you've spent your money. And then I think when you start to do it regularly, suddenly you'll start to think of it before you do it. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Another paradigm that people often use, and we try and teach our young people this, is the distinction between a need and a want. How do you combine those two things together? Because it seems like they're quite closely connected.
Absolutely. And this is something I talk about with my 8-year-old on the regular, because her definition of needs and wants are very different than mine.
Yeah.
But I think I'm from a generation where we weren't really taught about money. It was very private. Your parents would pay. I was from a very comfortable family, but nobody talked about money or budgeting. It just wasn't done in the 80s and early 90s. So we often talk about a need versus a want. So needs are things you need to survive. So food, a roof over your head, shoes on your feet, clothing. But the other bits are the extras. And so you can want lots of things, but you don't need any of them. And it's about creating priorities. So it's something I've done with my daughter for years, where I've had, we use jam jars. Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant, I thought I would make chutneys as a pastime when I was on maternity leave. I never did, but I saved all the jars during that time, which I've never made a single chutney. But so I had them kicking around. I labeled them spending, sharing, and savings. And so then when my daughter gets paid, like for tooth fairy money, or she does a job around the house and she gets, you know, a pound, instead of giving her a pound coin, I'll give her, you know, a 50p coin and 2 20s and a 10. So then she can divide up her spending, her money, the way that she wants to, put some of it into spending, which is for the day-to-day treats. If she's out and she wants a magazine, overpriced magazine, I might add, or saving is if she wants to save for a Lego set. And then sharing is for if she wants to, you know, if you have some extra money, it's good to help other people out, particularly in the current economy.
And I hope she articulates Beanie Boos and Stuffies in the needs category, because I was suckered by that with my child many times. I need a Beanie Boo. Oh, really? I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I say you don't need to have yet another Lego set. Mm. You feel like it's a need, but you really, you just want it. You don't need it to survive. And is that, because I never say, oh, because a lot of parents say, oh, no, we can't afford that, even if they can. But it's just an easy way to shut down the situation. And so what I always say is, well, that's not how I choose to spend our money today. Because, you know, for Christmas, she created a Christmas wish list mood board. She went through like the equivalent of like the Sears Christmas catalog, the UK equivalent, and cut out all of her things she wanted, put it on the mood board, and then thought I could circulate it among family and friends. And when I said, well, there's a lot of very expensive items here, and she said, well, Santa builds toys, he doesn't make them, or he doesn't buy them. And so I thought, this is getting to be a difficult age.
A very difficult age, but very enterprising too. How would you, and maybe she's a bit young, how would you include her in the 1-2-3 spending method? And I ask because I bet there would be some differences of opinion on those sorts of things. Like you not having to cook dinner and saving your sanity by ordering in would have a higher value to you than it would be to her, who might be perfectly happy to have breakfast for dinner yet again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing where it really makes you start to question what your own personal priorities are. So to an 8-year-old, it's all relative what her priorities are, you know, she wants, a costume from the Descendants movie, or, and, you know, it's desperate. And I was tracking it for Halloween on Amazon, like I was watching the stock market.
Yes.
But that's really important to an 8-year-old because it's Halloween. You go trick or treating. We do talk about, well, why do you want that item? Like, why do you, or so she'll have a couple of pounds and we'll go into Claire's accessories, which is a basically where you can buy lots of headbands and hair things for girls that are so expensive for what they are. It's such bad value. And I said, but if we can go in there, you can buy, these are the items you could buy, which is basically nothing with a 5-pound note, or you can go to the shop next door and you can get 5 bits of stationery stuff for crafting. and what will last longer in terms of how much fun you'll have. So you might wear the hairband, yes, but you'll play with the stuff that, because she loves to craft and like make inventions.
Of course.
And that, and how long does that keep you entertained for? So we talk about time-wise as well, because kids find it really difficult to put time into, like, they don't really understand the concept of time as such. Yeah. It's like, how long is a piece of string?
Yeah.
So I always say, like, we've got to go. We've got 15 minutes before we have to leave for school. And I'm like, that is like one episode of one of your shows.
Right. All these parent learnings. Kara, I wish we had more time. I so appreciate you joining us today to talk about the 1-2-3 spending method. You make it sound as easy as 1-2-3. I love it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Kara Gemmell is a Canadian born and raised on the eastern side of our great country, but she now spends her life in West Sussex in the UK. Moolala, Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we're Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. And we have so much going on for Financial Literacy Month. Go to creditcanada.com/FLM, and you're going to learn about our free virtual events, our webinars, access all sorts of tools. If you are feeling overwhelmed by the debt you are carrying, go to creditcanada.com and book an appointment, or find our phone number and call us. One of our accredited counselors is going to talk you down and tell you about the various options that you have. You do have options, I promise you. Moolala is also sponsored by Home Equity Bank, the provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Here's the big idea. It empowers Canadian homeowners age 55 plus to live retirement on their terms by providing them with a safe and easy way to access the equity built up in their home. And given the prices of houses these days, that equity can be considerable. The funds can be used for whatever the client wants or whatever the client needs. And that could be travel, it could be helping grandchildren, or it could be supplementing their day-to-day expenses. You can access up to 55% of your home's value with no monthly mortgage payments required. Go to chip.ca to learn how you can stay in the home you love without having to move or downsize. That's Home Equity Bank.